day's heartbeat. I've titled this talk, How's Your Living Faith? And it speaks to me as well as hopefully it speaks to you. And it comes about from when the disciples are trying to heal a boy who possibly has epileptic fits, sounds like, and they can't heal him, and then the father comes to Jesus. So let's read it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, starting at verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, Jesus, knelt before him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? He said to them, Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So the disciples tried by, I guess, because they've been seeing Jesus perform all these miracles, praying for people, they tried to pray, to do what they felt they needed to do to ask God to come and heal this boy, and it didn't happen. And so the father brings the boy to Jesus. And you think Jesus is so annoyed. He's rebuking the disciples because they're the ones who tried to pray for the boy to be healed. He says, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Oh my goodness, he is so frustrated. And you sort of think, well, this is the divine Jesus being frustrated with our humanity. Because we are weak, we don't get it right. But Jesus is trying to use this as not to be mean to us, but to try and, I guess, maybe shock us, maybe say, look, this is how you're living and it's not the way you're meant to be living. It's not the kingdom way. Remember, Jesus always used things as a teaching point, let alone as a curing of people and miracles and healing and love and compassion and mercy. But he always used it for teaching. And he was especially trying to teach the disciples because they were going to be the leaders when Jesus went back to the Father. They were going to be the ones that were going to pass him on to others. It was their faith that was going to be passed on. And so Jesus had to deal with their faith, had to deal with their beliefs. Now, they believed, they must have, if they'd said, oh yes, we'll pray for him. They must have thought we should be able to pray for this boy and heal him. And it didn't happen. But then they were probably a little bit embarrassed because they said they privately went to Jesus and said, can you just tell us why it didn't happen, why it didn't work for us? And part of the explanation is from what Jesus said. He said, faithless and perverse generation. Another translation says, faithless and twisted generation. The words have exposed the disciples' faith. Faithless is not no belief in God. It's not being an atheist. But it's often the slow erosion or the lack of trust while still remaining religiously active. The disciples prayed, but they didn't have enough trust, enough faith that their prayers, maybe not enough faith in Jesus, Jesus could do it, but not enough faith that their prayers God could use and work through them. Maybe it wasn't not enough faith yet in this Jesus, in this Messiah. But the other part said, Jesus spoke to them as a perverse, a twisted generation. Now this twisted is trying to explain in a very, very, to me, a picturous way of something twisted. Think about you're twisted. You're turned away from. And it suggests that instead of being face to face with God, they were slowly bent away without noticing they were. So the generations of the time have been twisted, not facing God, not being totally honest or truthful or upfront or face to face with God is like, you know, God, I trust in you totally. But they were twisted. They had things not quite right. Remember, the kingdom's ways are different to the world's ways. They're still learning the kingdom's ways. You know, Emma has previously spoken about the way, the truth, and the life. They were still learning about this way, this truth, and the life that Jesus had for them. And so it wasn't quite dynamic, quite face-to-face, honest, truthful with God. Or if they were being truthful, they didn't know that they weren't looking, you know, weren't totally facing God, weren't totally following him totally. And Jesus says that, you know, you were trying. He doesn't discount that they were trying to pray and heal the boy. They were still praying. They were still present. They were still involved. But just because you're near to God doesn't mean you're automatically aligned with God. Are you listening? Just because you're near to God doesn't mean you're aligned to God. Meaning, I'm trying to be near to God. I'm trying to pray and focus and live a godly way, but I'm not yet quite aligned up to him because I'm not yet holy as holy, pure. One day I will be because God, in God's grace, he will do that for me. And so he was frustrated with the disciples, but he was using it as a teaching moment. The question isn't that they didn't have any confidence. They just had little confidence because of your little faith. It's not that you didn't have any faith. It's not that you were ignorant, but the faith that was present was not yet fully anchored in God. Think about when you go to the book of Acts and when the beggar says, you know, can I have something? And Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I give to you. I give you the name of Jesus Christ and I tell you to walk. And the beggar stands up and walks. That is a time when Peter's faith was fully anchored and alive in Christ because of what God had done in him, the Holy Spirit giving him the courage and the strength and the ability, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to be our helper. And so this passage is beginning to start to look at how we are inwardly. Are we anchored in God? Do we have that intensity that we should have? Have we even got the direction right? Does faith even exist? Or is it subtly split? Oh, maybe God might do it, but maybe he won't. Sometimes I think when we say, Lord, would I pray for this healing, but if your will be done, may it not happen. I feel sometimes we do it as an out. Well, Lord, if you want it to heal, heal, but if you don't, well, then that's okay. You know, that's part of our prayer when we say, Lord, heal this person, in that we're trusting in God completely, but the other part is, if that's your will. We don't necessarily have to say it because it's not an out for Jesus. If Jesus wants to heal, he will heal. And there or later or maybe not, for his reason and his purpose. We have to trust God in our language. We have to lean everywhere instinctively into him and for him. And he uses the example of the faith of the size of a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is tiny. It's a little dot in your palm of your hand. But a mustard seed can grow to 2 to 10 meters, depending on the water, the environment, etc. And this tiny little speck of a mustard seed can grow into a huge tree. And Jesus is trying to say, if you had enough dependence upon me that is so dependent, it's just like a tiny speck. That's what he means by faith. Is your faith dependent upon me? Even if it is of little faith. But if it's of little faith and it's just dependent upon you and what, how you feel for the day, how your prayers seem to work, how you're focused, well, it's not going to work at all. Jesus is trying to encourage us to be strong producers of faith. But it's not us who does it. It's us leaning in, depending upon him totally, being vulnerable and real. The faith does not look large. It's just a speck, a mustard seed size. But the faith, if it's totally connected to Jesus, to God, it can tell a mountain to move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So do you have this amount of living faith? Oh, I pray that I do, but I know often I don't. And I know I need to lean into him more intentionally, more deliberately, more totally than I do. So let us pray that our God would grace us with that ability, with that faith that we need to live our lives, to do what he's asked us to do on this earth, to go and spread the gospel, to go and tell the good news about Jesus Christ to everyone. It takes God's courage. It takes the faith that God desires us to have, and his ability that we lean into, his dependence that we lean into, not us. So God, you hear our cry, you hear our prayer. Grace us with this dependence upon you, this little faith that we could even have, that would tell a mountain to move and it would move. We trust in you, Lord. And grace us with the ability to do your work and your will and live your way on this earth. Amen. Have a great week. Be blessed and go live that faith that God calls us to.